Okay, let's go to a buying system number 21. And I call this subject to purchase, wrap sale, or straight subject to buy and hold. That sentence is ended with a question mark because this is maybe the system number 21 that you may decide not to do. It's an interesting problem that I've run across as I did the mathematics figuring out something that I thought would make perfect sense. And as you go through this with me, as it turns out, it may be better to do this type of transaction, literally taking over subject to a property rather than do this first scenario. So let me go through it in order and we'll talk about the math because this was one of those buying systems that surprised me. The time to use this technique is exactly in a time frame that's going to be coming up between 2008 and 2010. And I think it'll mimic somewhere between 78 and 82, where interest rates had been reasonable in the early 70s and went up a lot. And here in 2008 and 2010, I think we'll probably have a significant interest rate hike compared to where we've been in the last couple of years. So that's the time frame of it. When prices have declined, recently declined, I'm saying by 2008 to 2010, it'll allow for very small payment purchases to take over existing financing with very favorable interest rates. So that's this buying system is counting on the fact that we're going to have higher interest rates in those years, 2008 to 2010, and that we'll have a price decline to where we'll be able to walk in and take over those loans subject to without very much money out of pocket. So I would wait until all of the evidence is in that the interest rate market is higher and that the prices have descended before I would implement this buying system. And when the price shifts upwards, the buyers will be less likely to default. So whenever you do a subject to transaction and you want to sell the property, it's always better to be involved in either carrying back paper, which we're going to talk about here, or if you're selling it and just letting them own the property on their own subject to, it's better to do when the trend has shifted and the prices are going up. We already talked about that. But here's a typical scenario, and we'll go through it together. The typical scenario, let's say the owner refinances to a 15-year fixed rate loan at 5% in 2004. And for this example, let's say the original loan amount is $500,000. So somebody pulled out their equity, cranked up a $500,000 loan, did a 15-year fixed rate loan. The original PI payment is $3,953.97. At the end of 6 years, the loan balance is $343,307. Let's say that the house at the end of the 6 years is worth $350,000, or a 30% price hit. You buy the property with zero down and take subject to the loan. Everybody with me okay? You resell the home with $10,000 down for a total of $360,000, and you get $10,000 bonus for basically the person not having to qualify for the financing. The financing you carry is an all-inclusive deed of trust at $350,000, 10% interest for 30 years. That sound like that's a good plan? So you're carrying it at twice the interest that you're paying. You're only paying 5% on the remaining balance of about $343,000. You're carrying back at 10% interest and for 30 years, and the underlying balance loan only has 9 years to pay off. Okay, you got it? Okay, I'll go through it one more time. Original borrower borrows $500,000, 6 years passes, and because his loan was a 15-year loan, it's paid all the way down to $343,000. He says, you know what, I'm leaving the state, I want to sell it. We buy it subject to that loan and don't give him any money. When we resell the property, we get $10,000 down and wrap that financing and now make the wrap a 30-year mortgage at 10%. Unfortunately, and this is where this starts to have a problem, is that you probably won't like the monthly result. Because there's a shorter-term loan in first position, it creates an $882.47 negative cash flow per month or over $10,000 a year. That's just hard to imagine. If you doubled the interest rate, but because of the time frame, the payment on that original loan is $3,900, and yours is a little over $3,000. You're receiving more interest each year than you're paying. And here's the chart So on a tax basis, I'm having to declare a gain, and in a monthly reality, I'm losing money. So here's the actual interest received. So year one is actually the first year of ownership for me. Remember, this loan is going to pay off completely at the end of 9 years. So this is the 9-year scenario that literally gives me a zero balance on this house. But now we have to see, is it worthwhile doing? We're carrying back financing for 30 years. So at the end of this 9 years, we've got 21 years left to get paid. The problem is surviving the 9 years. Your interest received year one is $34,912. The interest you paid on the underlying loan is $16,461. It leaves you with a taxable interest of $18,450. And if it's 36% tax, you're at $6,600. But at the same time, you had a negative cash flow. Now, how do those two things happen simultaneously, where you receive more interest than you pay and that you have a big monthly negative? This is what's paying off that principal balance on that remaining 9 years. You're receiving it as interest and paying off the principal over here, which isn't deductible. That's where the problem is. And so at the end of 9 years, here's your total scenario. You will have paid a total of $7,978 in tax at 36%. You would have had a total negative cash flow of $95,000. And you would have paid off in 9 years. If what you had left was a loan balance, you'd have $323,000 and it wouldn't be taxable. If somebody refinanced at the end of the 9th year and paid you off as a lender, that $323,000 would not be taxable because you're just getting repaid a principal balance as a lender would get paid off in an escrow. So it's just like having B of A have a demand in escrow. They don't get taxed. That's not a taxable income to them. I guess the problem is, can you believe that during the 9 years that you hold this, that you have such a negative situation monthly, even though you're charging 10% interest and only paying 5? And when I did this calculation, I honestly was shocked. I did not expect that it'd end up with such a lopsided scenario. So then I said, okay, well, maybe we could just buy this property subject to at that point and eat the negative cash flow and retain ownership of the property. So let's try that scenario, because it's still the same 9-year loan that's going to pay off. So rather than be a lender in the transaction and wrap it at a higher interest rate, maybe I should just eat the negative cash flow as a owner having a renter that's not covering the payment, and let's see how that works out. So year number one, my loan balance at the end of the year number one is down to 312, and at end of year 9, it's zero. I only counted 4% appreciation, so that's not very much appreciation, typical for California's boom markets. Of course, and again, we're not buying this tomorrow. We're buying this at the end of the bad cycle. So we're buying this property in 2008, 9, or 10, holding it for, say, 9 years to free and clear. So I'm just saying at 4%, we go from 364 to about 500. Our problem is our negative cash flow. We basically are losing $2,000 a month in the beginning and maybe down to a little over 1,000 at the end. Here's the whole scenario is, at the end of 9 years, you own a free and clear, nearly $500,000 house. You've had a negative cash flow of $184,000 over 9 years, and you have a $66,000 tax benefit that $184,000 created. Either one of those sound exciting? How many people would do scenario one? Not very many people. I mean, isn't that, I thought sure that this was going to be an obvious winner. And the truth is that because the negative cash flow is so strong as you're holding it, or if you're receiving all of this interest that you have to pay taxes on every year in advance, it just doesn't seem to make sense. So I took it one step farther. If you go to the next page, page 197, it's interesting that the scenario of holding the property really came out much better, and it's because you had the idea of inflation helping your investment out. So on top of page 197, a couple advantages: you had the property inflating, but you also had the advantage of a choice. If you own the piece of real estate, you can do a 1031 exchange with the property and avoid the tax. So that is a big help. Or you could just keep it and let it keep on inflating. Appreciation worked for you in example number two when you held the property, and it worked for the purchaser in number one and not for you. So in example number one, where you were the lender, you ended up with a $323,000 asset, a loan, and in number two, you end up with a free and clear house worth nearly $500,000. It's the next 6 years that's also start to separate the benefit. 24.3 follows this trust deed investment now for another 6 years. So now you don't owe anything that's underneath, and you are in fact having a tremendous positive cash flow of $36,000 a year, and the value of your asset declines in the sixth year to $285,826. If you own the house and it keeps on going up at only 4% a year, at the end of the sixth year, you have a $630,000 asset, but since it's now free and clear, it has tremendous cash flow as well. So oddly enough, it seems to me that the advantage is probably to control the house and go long. Now, you have to decide, is it worth having a property bought at 100% of value with a 5% mortgage rate for 9 years, or is it better to buy that property at a discount with the current financing rate? You'll have to do that calculation when the time comes up, because I don't know what the going interest rate would be. But owning the property turns out to be more profitable than carrying back the financing. I also played with a 30-year loan scenario. So owner takes out a 30-year mortgage at 5.5%. Loan amount is $500,000 in January of 2004. It has an original payment of $2,838. At the end of 6 years, the loan balance is down to $453,440, and that's at the end of 2009. So now we have to have the market be worth a lot more. Let's say that the house is worth $465,000 in 2010. And I'm just using this for an example so you can see, okay, if this situation comes up, I'd be willing to do this. You buy the property with zero down, take over the loan balance of $453,440. When you sell it, you get $11,560 down. You carry back 30 years of financing at 9% interest, payable at $3,701 a month. So you're buying a property that has a loan that's been in place for 6 years at 5.5%. You're carrying back a 30-year 9% interest loan, and your payment is higher every month than you're paying this time. So that creates an $862 positive per month, or $10,000 a year. And again, you're paying principal down quicker on the underlying financing than you are on your seller carryback loan. And so you have to add that to money that you have to claim. And so here's actually the chart for the next 9 years. Interest received the first year is $41,000. Interest paid is $24,700. So your taxable interest is $16,566 the first year. The bottom line is, after we're all said and done, after 9 years, we have paid $56,000 in tax. We've had a positive cash flow of $93,000. Total owed on the underlying loan after 9 years is $347. Total owed to us at the end of 9 years is $418. So if you did this 30-year wrap with a 30-year loan having been in place at 5.5%, we would make $11,560 when we found a buyer. We'd make a positive cash flow after taxes of $36,414, and we'd end up with a $71,000 equity position in the wrap over and above what we owed on the underlying financing. So basically, every time you did one of those, you'd make about $120,000. But it wouldn't be without its struggle, especially if you did any of the other scenarios. At least this one provides you with a positive cash flow along the way. So ultimately, it only makes sense to me to approach it where I can finance it with a 30-year loan, having taken over a subject to a 30-year loan. The fuse being 15 years on the other scenario just makes it too costly monthly. The only thing that I would do with a 15-year loan is take it over subject to and probably hold it as a rental and write off the loss until I got to it free and clear. That would be probably the only alternative that would make sense. And to be honest with you, that surprised me. When I approached the subject, I thought that that was going to be one of the big niches that I'd take advantage of, was buying those subject twos that were 5% in 15 years with only 9 years to pay off, and it turns out that it would cost too much. But I wouldn't mind the other one. I would take over the subject two on the 30-year loan as long as I could move the property and carry it for a positive cash flow.